Welcome to the Pet Cancer Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Susan Ettinger from the Animal Specialty Center in Westchester, New York, who is a board-certified oncologist devoted to diagnosing and treating dogs and cats with cancer. Dr. Sue's motto for her patients is live longer, live well. We are here to give you hope because cancer is a treatable disease. If you would like your question answered on the air, please email radiopetlady@gmail.com. We want the advice and support you get from Dr. Sue to also help others facing the same challenges. The Pet Cancer Vet is a production of 8 Paws LLC and Dr. Sue Cancer Vet PLLC, which are solely responsible for its content. To hear more episodes of this show or any of the pet talk shows I co-host with experts, please go to radiopetlady.com and visit the podcast library. The Pet Cancer Vet is brought to you by Best Pet RX, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets that works directly with veterinarians to create a custom version of medications. Does your pet hate the taste of a pill, or is it too large to get down? Or do you have cats who are famously anti-pill? Best Pet RX can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid, and will keep trying formulations at no extra charge until they create a flavor your pet will actually like. Ask your vet to contact Best Pet RX Compounding Pharmacy so your pet will get well and stay well happily. Dear Dr. Sue, the Pet Cancer Vet, good evening, my dear. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm dandy. I understand your parents have a new baby Labrador Retriever puppy, so you're in the throes of puppy love, aren't you?
And I am, and I got to see him right when they picked him up. They stopped by the clinic for me. Well, really, for my husband, the internist. They're like, you get to love him, but they, you know, my husband did his puppy exam just to make sure that, you know, everything was good with him. And
nice.
I don't think I put him down, and he's like 22 pounds, and I don't think I put him down for 45 minutes. My biceps were actually like in pain, but he's so cute. There's pictures of him on my Facebook page. You have to go check them out. They're delicious.
Yes, everyone has to see them because they are adorable. Well, I know what a great Labrador Retriever lover you are. Your first love is a Labrador Retriever. Your darling pooch now is a Labrador. And we have a lovely gentleman in Dallas, Texas, Jonathan, who's a beautiful 13-year-old chocolate lab. She's so gorgeous, Cindy.
Gorgeous.
Really beautiful, has an anal gland tumor. And Jonathan's with us tonight to talk about what he's looking for in the way of treatment and what his options are. He's a very healthy feeding and supplementing guy, so we already think he's pretty cool. Jonathan, welcome to the Pet Cancer Vet. I'm sorry you have to be here for such a distressing reason, but it's very nice to meet you.
Oh, I thank you very much for having me, and hopefully others may hear this and be able to take some steps, precautionary steps, on their next vet visit.
That's a really good point, because in your case, you noticed there was an odor from underneath Cindy's tail earlier this year, right?
Yes, and I've always kind of massaged her, pet her, just, and I know where all these lumps are, and they're all in my mind. I know where they are, but there's this one place that I never really checked, and
good
that
point.
Was the anal area.
Good point. I have to admit, me either. Never crossed my mind. Dr. Sue, this is probably something, one of the few places that pet owners never put their fingers on their dog's hiney, right?
No, I mean, and I have to tell you, not all vets do a rectal exam as part of their routine exams.
Ooh.
And the anal gland tumors that have a better prognosis are the ones that are found early. And it's often, you know, the vet who is, you know, expressing anal gland. Sometimes it's the groomer, or if the dog is
right.
getting bathed and someone's trying to express the anal glands and they say, we couldn't express the anal gland the way that we should. You should go to your vet. But a good vet should be doing a routine rectal exam. You know, it's not sexy. you know, a lot of times the owners roll their eyes. I sometimes, you know, if the owners want to leave the room, I don't think the dogs care as much as we think that, you know,
right,
they care.
Right.
But a lot of owners don't like to think about it. And so, but it is an underserved area, and a rectal exam is really important as part of routine maintenance, you know, or preventative health care for our pets.
Well, we know that humans have anal checks, you know, perianal checks, and the doctor always says, excuse me, I'm sorry, but they're actually doing you a favor because they might find something. Jonathan, at 13 years old, you obviously, based on the gorgeousness of her picture, you've kept Cindy in fantastic shape. You probably never or noticed her having an anal gland exam, right?
I have not. I've taken her, I don't know, maybe not every 6 months, but...
But nearly, right?
Yes, I try to, and just check her everything out, and there's been lumps here and there that we've checked and had them aspirated, and it was always hard because I wish I had a little diagram of a lab, and I could just, like, say we've checked this one or this one, and I put all these notes in my phone, but yes, this is one we never really checked back because there was never really any issue.
Although, as Dr. Sue says, it would be better if it was done routinely, so therefore, anyone listening, if you have particularly an aging dog, but any age dog, when you go in for your yearly checkup or your twice yearly checkup for an elderly dog, you gotta, what? How do you put it, Sue? Could you check his hiney? Could you check the anal glands? I mean, what do you say?
You just, you know, to say we're going to do a rectal exam today, right? You know, very easy.
Yes. Yes.
And just, you know, it's just a nice way of saying it. You know, I have, you know, vets or pet owners who come and they say, "Will you look at this for me?" But or, you know, I'll tell you, underserved area is the neck area, you know, the deep under the neck. And I think those are, you know, areas that we need to do a better job just feeling, you know, the, some of the obvious ones, we feel the belly and things like that. But there are some other parts of the body that I think, you know, sometimes we find these tumors late because no one was really sort of feeling that area really well.
Exactly. When we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, Jonathan, I want to speak to something you just mentioned, because Dr. Sue and I have talked about it before, which is having a map of your dog's body, and your own vet should have made a body map for Cindy. Mm-hmm. So that's a really great point, and you're an amazing owner that you thought of it, but it's something the vet should really be doing. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the body map and then go on to figuring out how we can keep Cindy well, given that she already has this cancer. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with a proprietary anti-inflammatory ingredient, Alpha-G, made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds known to provide pain relief in dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs. Canine Active is made in America by the company that has had outstanding success with their human product for people who have pain, who want to avoid ibuprofen and NSAIDs. Now there is Canine Active, an innovative formula for dogs to improve quality of life for the canine members of the family. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. The Radio Pet Lady Network is also supported by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And their super low-carb canned cat food is here. Halo's pâté-style cat food has an amazingly low 5% carbohydrates, respecting the obligate carnivore's need for quality protein. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com. Because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. We are back. Dr. Sue and I are talking to Jonathan in Dallas, Texas, about his beautiful 13-year-old chocolate lab, Cindy. Jonathan, do you think your vet might have a map of the dog's body where he's aspirated the tumors, or you're pretty sure there isn't one?
There is not one that I know of, because I'd asked them about that, and I just have my... I've went to two vets. One is a kind of holistic, I think, and the other one's just more convenient and close by.
Right.
And I have the records, and they just say, like, under neck. I'm not real organized, but it has more terms like under neck or left shoulder. And it's kind of not real clear writing, but I know pretty much which ones we've checked. And but then you find another one, and you're like, well, this one hasn't grown
a little bit. That's right. You know? I mean, I think, Sue, you and I have talked about this. But, you know, you can get four lumps on your shoulder. So it doesn't do any good to say a lump on the right shoulder. But the picture looks kind of like a chicken, right? Spread out. It's like the whole dog's body. It's like a little diagram. Are they does the doctor draw it themselves? Or is it kind of, do you come like with
no,
the...
There, you know, there's a pretty standard one that you could probably find.
Download, right?
Yeah, download. One of the things as part of the See Something, Do Something cancer awareness program that I'm working on with VCA, the company that I work for, is sort of updating that map with their their techies, you know, who can in their arts department, because it is a very sort of flat picture. And we were thinking there's got to be a better way to have a nicer picture. But still, it's a way of showing on the dog where these lumps and bumps are. But we're really hoping to sort of do a newer version of that skin map and have one that the owners can take home with them.
Oh, that would be great.
Right. With a little measuring device, with a little ruler.
Wow.
And then also have one for the vets that they can incorporate into their programs. Some of the issues with the new computer medical records, which are fabulous, are getting them into each individual program, you know. But
right.
We can still do one on – what I do right now is I do it on a piece of regular paper. They're my older ones, and then we just scan it into our digital medical records. But there are ways around, you know, some of the technology now, but I still think having a map where the owner can keep track of their pet's lumps and bumps, and then the vet can do it as well, because they are important to keep track of.
Because, Jonathan, you are the first line of defense. We all are the first line of defense. I mean – women know this about breast cancer. You're supposed to do a breast exam every month. Some people do, some people don't. But on the dog's body, those lumps that you know, you think, I got to have a record of this somewhere. Wouldn't it be great if you had that little map at home and it was just on your computer or sitting in a file and you could double check? Oh, yeah, I felt that one last month, or that one was a lot smaller last month. So I just want to say you have been doing all the right things. You just didn't have the right tools. So it was found out that this anal gland was cancer, right?
Right. We first I noticed the odor, and it wasn't really like feces, but it was just a odd odor, and I knew where it was coming from. So I would, I don't know, get a wet wipe or a paper towel, and I noticed the reddish kind of fluid, and that's when we went in for like the heartworm, you know, test, heart guard thing.
Right.
And we had mentioned that, and then we checked another lump on her chest. So he did an aspirate, and he expressed the anal glands, I think you call that.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
then he noticed there was a, this is the non-holistic guy, it can be the one that's close by. He noticed there was a lump back there, and he said, I'm going to try it. You know, I saw him, he tried to aspirate that. This was March 6th, and or something on early March. And I think he said that he put it in the slides to send with the other one. But anyway, we did a follow-up a month later, like April 6th or 5th, something like that. And that's when he said it's still there, but it hasn't grown, and he's concerned about it. And I told him, I was like, well, I'm glad I had insurance. And he mentioned it'd be a pre-existing condition. And at the time, I was like, I wonder why he would say that. But because I've had this insurance for, I don't know, not quite a year, but
well,
anyway,
it certainly wasn't pre-existing. I mean, if at the time of you only got the insurance when the dog was 12?
About a year or so ago.
That's really unusual for a pet insurance company to take on a dog at age 12. So you were lucky they did. I mean, the company I'm with, Healthy Paws, I believe they'll take one at 12. Most companies won't, right, Sue? Because that's when the really big costs come about.
My guess is that the premiums and the, you know, are more expensive if you sign up later than if you signed up when you're younger. But
yeah,
I mean, I know the company that he uses. We've had good experiences with them for my clients who have chosen them. So I think they're a pretty good company.
I mean, a condition only exists when a condition is noted in a medical exam.
Exactly. You can't say it was probably there.
That's right. There's no such thing. At the moment that you noticed it and said something to the doctor and they have it in their notes, that's when it began existing. That's just the law.
They've already reimbursed me for, I had a deductible, I've already met that, and they've already reimbursed me and done, they even do something that's a pre-approval to where they, somehow I talk to the vet and then they agree to pay my deposits, a check or something like that, but it's all been pre-approved. Well, not all of it, but the surgery and just to remove it and all the previous claims that I've had just for visits and stuff like that.
Well, what about surgery? Is that the direction you want to go in?
I first thought of that because I went to holistic vet because he's done some surgery before, or his partner, you know, go to him,
right.
His partner for someone that does it, and removed some mammary gland lumps before. This was a few years ago. And then I thought, well, I'll just do that. And plus, he knew about the pre-approval process, and so it came down to where I just had like a copay, like a regular doctor. You know?
Wow!
And I thought, yeah, I thought that was awesome. And there was some. It's hard for me to call him because of my job. I take calls all day, so I can't just sit and make phone calls.
Right.
Personal. And they don't answer their phone, which is fine, but so it's really hard communicating. But we got the pre-approval done, and we're just basically going to do a date. But somehow it changed, and there were some things on there that we never really talked about, so that kind of stalled it. But that was, I was going to have it removed. And then, I don't know, I've probably read so many things online and talked to people, and I just got kind of confused on what I really should do because of her age. And
so let's talk about that, Sue. You have a 13-year-old, otherwise healthy dog who's on fabulous food, beautiful supplementation, just living a really healthy and pure life, and she has an anal gland tumor. But the point being, she's in fabulous condition at age 13. She's not on her last pins and every day's a nightmare. You know, she looks like she's got a high quality of life. So is there any reason not to do surgery?
No. And so, you know, the most common anal tumor or butt tumor is something called, and there's a couple of names, but it's an anal gland carcinoma, apocrine gland, anal sac, adenocarcinoma, and then oncologists sometimes abbreviate it Agasaca, which is just, you know.
Agasaca, wow.
It's easier than saying apocrine gland, anal sac, adenocarcinoma. So it's a malignant cancer of the anal gland, and that's the most common one. And of the, you know, there's benign perianal tumors back there, but statistically, that's the most common malignant tumor that we see. And if you look at dogs that have, that don't have any evidence that their cancer has spread at the time of diagnosis, and their blood calcium is normal, because this cancer can produce a hormone which makes the blood calcium high. But if they don't have that hormone, the best thing you can do of all the oncology treatment options, if you look at surgery, radiation, and chemo, is surgery. And studies show that in dogs that only have surgery, again, this is a generalization,
right?
But their survival times are like 12 to 16 months.
Wow.
Some dogs, they have, you know, risk for metastasis or spread, and I do often treat these dogs, especially bigger masses, with chemotherapy, but these are one of those tumors where I really encourage owners to think about it like a chronic disease, like kidney disease, like heart disease, and with treatment, dogs will live longer because of their treatment, and I often have dogs that live 2-3+ years, even with, you know, dogs that have lymphatic invasion. So when we take out the tumor, we see that their blood vessels are being invaded by the cancer cells. That would be a reason I would put the dog on chemo. But these are some of my long-term survivor patients. So to me, if even if you're not going to do anything after surgery, just get the thing out, because okay. I'm an oncologist who believes in integrative medicine, you know, support for my oncology patients, but you still need to cut this thing out because the tumor is unlikely to go away without surgery.
Unlikely is a polite word for it. It's not going to leave without being
well,
cut out.
I am.
I mean, because you can't say never, because if Jonathan flies to Lourdes and they line up at Lourdes and, you know, make the right prayers, maybe Cindy can throw away her crutches, so to speak. But in all likelihood, it's not going anywhere. A little levity doesn't hurt, right? Jonathan, are you concerned about how she's going to handle surgery, like anesthesia and stuff? Because she's a really healthy-looking dog. That shouldn't pose any risk if done by somebody with a really good hospital.
I was thinking the exact same thing, so the question was perfect, because, you know, I went to the holistic vet, and he was wanted to immediately do the surgery, and then said we'd talk about chemo and stuff, and really didn't talk about anything holistic. The closer veterinarian that's convenient, that he's open Saturdays and things, he said, you know, we could cut it out, you know, do the surgery, or he could refer me to a board-certified surgeon, I think is how he put it. But he mentioned that he's like, you know, but there's nerves in there, and you can damage some nerves, and he said the tumor, these tumors tend to get little fingers, and we probably wouldn't get it all out. And that's kind of where I was at. He said, well, you can just let her live her life, and she's happy. You know, she's happy. So
oh, brother.
I didn't really have a prognosis.
Oh, brother is all I can say. Jeepers, creepers. Yeah, all kinds of terrible things could be true, but the really terrible thing would be to leave cancer growing in your body. I mean, I have to say, and Dr. Sue would never say this, but I'm allowed to say what I want because I don't have any letters after my name. He was right to say go to a specialized, not only a board-certified surgeon, but I'd say, like, you may not have someplace near you like Dr. Sue's, you know, specialty hospital where there's a soft tissue surgeon. You want a cancer surgeon. You want someone who just does these very tricky, delicate nerves and fingers of things and roots and branches. That's what they do, Jonathan. And your own everyday vet should not even consider doing it. Shouldn't even, I mean, they can do a spay-neuter. Excellent. Do spay-neuter. They should not be doing complicated surgery. So on the one hand, he said you could go somewhere else. And then he tells you all the things that could go wrong. Yeah, probably if you did it with him, quite honestly.
And I was kind of thinking that as well. And the holistic vet, once he found out I had the insurance, it would kind of change. But this other local vet, I think he thought I was really concerned about the cost. And I am a little bit, but I mean, my insurance has already pretty much pre-approved it. So I just want the best whatever's for Cindy. And he just kind of put it like, well, they're going to put her through this. And, you know, you'll go through consultations. And
wow.
I mean, he didn't really like say, don't do it, but
he was telling you how great her life was going to be if you left well enough alone. It reminds me of everybody's grandfather who says, I never go to the doctor because when I go to the doctor, they find something wrong with me. Okay, then just stay home and, you know, die slowly of whatever it is they could have cured. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want Dr. Sue to talk about, in her experience, what that is like physically for the dog, the actual surgery, how it leaves the anus, if it causes problems later with going to the bathroom, that kind of thing. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dr. Sue, you'll tell us what that experience is like for your average dog that goes through this. Support for this show also comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious. Their all-natural products can assist cats and dogs with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix of protein, fruits, and vegetables to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is supported by Spot Platinum, an allergy test developed by a privately owned company that has done over 500,000 allergy tests during 25 years to measure a pet's reaction to 90 common elements. Is your dog constantly scratching, itching, licking? He might have allergies that the Spot Platinum blood titer test can detect, and for which they can make a USDA-approved serum custom-tailored to your dog's results to control his symptoms. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. We are back, and Dr. Sue is going to let Jonathan in Dallas, Texas, know what anal gland tumor surgery would probably be like for Cindy, what the experience would be like.
I mean, the good thing, it's exactly what you were saying, Tracy. You want an experienced surgeon to be doing this. And so an experienced surgeon can remove, so the anal sphincter is what, you know, is important to keep the butt closed. You know, nobody wants a dog pooping inappropriately. That's not going to make for a very good pet. And the surgeon, you know, they'll tell you they can take out about 50% of the anal sphincter and the dog will not have poop problems, will not be fecally incontinent after surgery. So they'll be able to hold their poop. Sometimes, you know, there'll be a little bit of leakage for a week or two after the surgery, but I have to tell you that's more the exception than the rule. So usually they're fine. And that's another reason to get this tumor out when it's small, because you will get to a point where it's too big and the surgeon will say the risk of surgery is too great because I'm afraid that I will make the dog incontinent permanently after surgery. But in general, an experienced surgeon can remove a lot of, a lot of tumor. The hard part is this is an area of the body where it's hard to get those margins, that normal rim of tissue around the cancer because of the anatomy, because we want to make sure the dog is going to be able to hold its poop. And another thing that's important to do before surgery, even if it's been done a month or two ago, because in the world of cancer, that's a long time, is you want to get current chest x-rays and ultrasound. And what's interesting is sometimes we find that this cancer is already spread to the lymph nodes underneath the spine that you'll see on ultrasound.
Oh my.
But if it hasn't spread distantly, the surgeon could go in and remove the butt tumor and remove that lymph node. And I'm taking care of a dog right now, Gus, who's now 2 years out. And that was his very scenario. He needed the butt tumor and the lymph node removed. It's a double surgery. It's a big day for the dog. They spent a couple of days in the hospital, but, you know, Gus would not have been alive, I'll bet you, more than 3 months.
Wow.
Had we not done those surgeries. And so now his cancer has come back. And we've tried, you know, different chemos and things like that. And he's been a chronic case of mine. He's a Portuguese water dog.
Oh, how lovely. How old? I should never ask you.
She
never knows how old a dog is, Jonathan. She doesn't want anyone to ever ask her how old she is.
No, but if you know, what I should just tell you is, They're nine.
They're all 9 years old.
I do know that Matilda will be 5 this month.
That's her own dog. She also knows her own children's ages, so there's hope for her.
There's hope for me. But
Jonathan, you know,
they're very treatable tumors.
Yes, and treating it makes sense, and putting yourself in the hands of somebody who feels comfortable and confident from a lot of experience doing it. Just to clarify about the chest x-ray, because it's something Dr. Sue brings up a lot, and people's own vets often don't think of this. If, God forbid, this cancer has spread to her chest, to her lungs, that is bad. It means that she's got the cancer throughout her, and only a chest x-ray will tell you that. And in that case, you might make a different decision, right, Dr. Sue?
Right, but interestingly, this is one of the cancers, anal sac adenocarcinoma, where Palladia, that new mast cell drug, has actually been shown to have anti-cancer activity, and that was one of the drugs that Gus was on for a while. And so this is one where, yes, when I was a resident, if it was an anal sac tumor that came in with a lung full of tumors, we didn't do anything. And now we've had cases. I had one dog with an anal sac tumor with the high blood calcium that I first met with lung nodules. And that dog was on Palladia for 10 plus months as a happy dog. And we slowed the progression of that dog's cancer. So, you know, what used to be there's no treatment options, just
yes.
Take some pain meds. There are options. And Jonathan, if you're in the Dallas area, you're in a good area because you're in a metro city and you're going to you're going to have some oncologists. I actually know some in that area. So.
Oh, good. You know, that was the other thing I was going to ask, Sue, if you could recommend to Jonathan an oncologist and or a top surgeon who is used to doing cancer surgery or at the very least soft tissue surgery, because Jonathan, Your insurance, thank God for that. Thank God you got it, really, is going to cover whomever does it. They don't pay less if somebody better does it. You know what I mean?
Right.
The prices
right.
are pretty standard, and pet insurance is funny that way. They, after you pay your deductible, they pay whatever you've elected, 70, 80, or 90% of the whole bill, whatever the bill is. They don't say, oh, I'm sorry, that's too fancy of a place or too costly of a surgeon. Everyone keeps their prices within a kind of middle of the road. So it will be great for Dr. Sue to be able to give you the names of those oncologists. You probably should hook up with one, Sue, before surgery or after, to this, so that there's a treatment plan. Like, oh, wow, Cindy didn't need any chemo because of what was found during surgery. But if during surgery they did find that lymph node under the spine or that it was slightly bigger than expected or something, then Sue, how you would start the oncology quickly, right? The chemo.
Yeah, I mean, I always think, I see a lot of cases that I come, they might even have all their tests done, but I give them the overview of the cancer and then I have them, you know, meet Dr. Bunzinski, my soft tissue surgeon. But I think it's sometimes nice to get the overview of the cancer, go to surgery, and then
yes.
we talk after the biopsy results come back. There are plenty of cases that come in through the surgeon and then only meet me at the, you know, the suture removal appointment. And that's when we start talking about things. But I think for this cancer, where in general, most dogs do need chemotherapy, doesn't mean you have to choose
right.
chemotherapy,
right.
Jonathan, but it's usually mm-hmm. recommended. I would see an oncologist first. And then, you know, and hopefully you'll find a place where the surgeon and the oncologist are in the same building and they all work well together.
And you think you might be able to find such a place in Dallas through your connections and knowledge?
Well, my resident mate was in the Dallas area. He's now in the, he's in Sugarland. He says. But I could ask him who's in the Dallas area.
Good.
But I do have a good number of friends in Texas. I know it's a small state, right?
Yeah, you can just practically walk right across it.
Right, right. It's just like Rhode Island.
Exactly. So, Jonathan, what the point of this, and to anyone listening who's facing a situation like yours, is you do want to see the oncologist beforehand or early on it doesn't mean you're choosing chemotherapy. It means you're choosing someone who's very deep knowledge of the most up-to-the-minute situation in the cancer world is such that they can tell you, oh, things look better with this cancer than they ever used to, or we have a new drug we like to use, or we weren't going to do anything until we see what the, you know, the biopsy after the surgery is, for example. But it is true the oncologist is the one who gives the bird's eye view, because the surgeon's just there with her knife, and everyone's just there with their specific job. But the oncologist does take the bird's eye view and look at the whole picture of that dog's whole health and try to go for live longer, live well. Isn't that you're saying, Dr. Sue?
Exactly. Sometimes I kid that I'm the cruise director, you know, that they come in and then I'm going to send them over here. And then we might, you know, in some cases they get radiation. But, you know, I'm sort of always orchestrating all the different modalities. And then again, in someone who has an interest in incorporating integrative or holistic supplements, you know, you can do that as well. You don't have to pick one or the other. You can, you know, really find someone who can help you incorporate both. And again, even if you decide not to do anything after surgery, I still, as Tracy's saying, I think it's important to meet the oncologist because they can at least help you monitor afterwards and tell you what to look for. Sure.
And the other thing, Jonathan, is they're not going to paint the negative picture that an everyday vet might do like yours did. Oncologists see dogs. Dr. Sue sees dozens of dogs in a day, or maybe one dozen. She works a really long day, let me tell you. That's why we do our recordings late in the dark of night, which is good for you because you don't have to be at work. And oncologists don't paint a fakely rosy picture, but they see these dogs day after day coming in, trotting in, smiling, panting, wagging their tail, in for their chemo or their radiation or their whatever it may be. These are not animals suffering from having had surgery, suffering from taking chemo. They take it in stride. And as Dr. Sue's talked about, they don't womp dogs with chemotherapy like they womp people. It's much smaller amounts, very tolerated by the dog, anti-nausea medication if needed. But I remember someone, Dr. Sue, recently saying something about when their dog had cancer and was vomiting and vomiting. And I was like, what the heck kind of oncologist did you go to? Oh, I didn't. My own vet did it. A dog should not be puking after chemo. That's all manageable, right, Sue?
Exactly. It was funny. Just today, one of the surgery residents stopped into my oncology treatment area, and we had a cute, happy golden. He's one of my lymphoma patients, came in for his treatment today. And, you know, she just came in because it was a cute golden to give him a big kiss. And, you know, she said, I was just telling somebody, you have the happiest, healthiest patients at Animal
Isn't that ironic?
Center.
Isn't that ironic?
It is, because most of them come in, they get their treatment, they're happy, they're not getting sick during their treatment. They love coming here. And really, most of my patients are healthy patients that happen to have cancer that are getting treatment. And that's what I love about what I do, is that they're healthy patients leading very normal lives.
And that's really what we want for you and Cindy. And it's what you're seeking yourself. And the fact that you've fed her so well, such high quality food and all these beautiful supplements that you give, that only means that her body is, you know, more receptive to being well and more receptive to whatever's done to it. And she should handle it really well. I mean, this is, you've clearly given her a beautiful life. This is no time to stop doing that and think, oh, I don't want to torture her, because the torture would be watching her go downhill quickly from cancer, because cancer waits for no man, you know? It's not going to sit there twiddling its thumbs, no matter how much your own vet says, oh, never mind. I mean, people can make that decision, right, Sue? I mean, an 89-year-old lady can say, I don't want to go through all that, whatever it might be with cancer. I'm just going to do quality of life and then do hospice. But dogs are different. They don't, first of all, they're not in the decision-making process. And 2 years in a dog's life is like 10 in a person's life. It's a whole lot more life, you know?
It is. I mean, just one of my patients last week was celebrating her 5-year anniversary. It was a different tumor, but, you know, I said, that is, you know, like a 25-year anniversary for a
That's
human
right.
cancer survivor.
That's right.
But it is. And I think, you know, I always say a little ignorance is bliss. And I think the fact that the, you know, that Cindy is not worried about, should I have surgery? What are the complications going to be? She just wants to be with you, Dad. And she
That's
wants
right.
to be a happy, healthy dog. And she doesn't have to weigh all the pros and cons and the costs and the insurance forms. And I think that's one of the reasons that dogs and cats, I say it all the time, Tracy, they do so well is they're not bogged down with the psychological and the emotional turmoil that human families, you know, go through. And I think that that's one of the sort of the gifts of the dog and cat with cancer is that they don't have to worry about, am I going to get sick this time when I go to the clinic? They don't, you know, they live in the moment. And I think sometimes I would do better if I lived in the moment like my dog.
Yeah. Well, I just recently interviewed somebody on Dog Talk. It's a great book. You'd really love it, Jonathan. So would you, Sue, called Life's a Bark by Larry Kay. And it's all beautiful pictures, fabulous, funny, delightful pictures, but it's all the lessons that we learn from living with our dogs and training our dogs and then how to apply it to yourself. All the live in the moment and smile for no good reason and jump for joy. It's a really wonderful book. And I think it helps us remember not only some things we could learn from our dogs to apply to ourselves and our partners and our children, but how to recognize that for the dog, their experience of life is very different than ours and more maybe what we might try for if we had time to sit around and be spiritual, but we don't. We're too busy worrying, right?
Exactly. Right.
Jonathan, I hope that you will be able to find through Dr. Sue an oncologist who rings your bell and feels like a good person like Dr. Sue is and will give you the confidence to continue being the amazing dad to Cindy that you have been. Mm-hmm. You've done every smart thing. You've considered every possibility. Now you deserve to have somebody who will guide you and support you in the next step in her treatment and in continuing the life you have together. You know, this is just a bump on the road. You're lucky to have kind of the lucky kind of cancer, if you will. I mean, if you had to have a kind, this sounds pretty manageable.
Right. I feel a little guilty because I maybe could have done something 2 months ago.
Well, we all, you know what? We all have that armchair quarterback look back and think, well, 2 months ago, you were still considering all this. And another dad wouldn't have noticed the reddish fluid and the odor. And, you know, 6 months from now, still wouldn't have done anything about it. So be glad that you noticed it soon and you didn't do nothing. You've been exploring your options and now you're ready. You found Dr. Sue. You found the show. You're ready to go to the next step. You know, all of us are only ready when we're ready, Jonathan. And it's a big emotional event for you, leaving aside the finances, because even though you have great pet insurance, you still pay some part of it. I know I've just been there and that's some heavy credit card numbers. But you know what? If you get the good outcome, it's worth every penny. You can only be there for her and support her in a happy, loving way when you're ready. And if you're full of anxiety and doubt and worry, then it was too soon. Now's when it's right for you. And if it's right for you, it's right for her. You know?
So, yeah, definitely.
So just give yourself a pat on the back for having been so thoughtful and not jumping to conclusions and having found it before it was something worse or bigger, okay?
Okay.
We wish you all the luck we want. We'll have Cindy's picture up on our Facebook page and with the podcast of the show.
She's a beauty.
She sure is. Even if she was an ugly duckling, we'd still love her because you love her. But it doesn't hurt to be a movie star.
I'll tell you real quick one time when I guess I was just thinking about all this stuff and I was about to move, change apartments and stuff. And I don't know, I don't like cry a lot or anything, but, you know, maybe, but.
You're entitled, you're allowed.
But it was all just coming at me at once, and somehow she just realized it, and she grabbed her little duck toy.
Oh.
And gave it to me, and I got one little picture of it, and she was just like, I'm happy, I'm okay.
Oh, I love that. See, she knew that this was too heavy for you, and she said, it's okay, we can just do a moment of rubber ducky. This book, Life's a Bark, is full of those kind of moments, where sometimes you just have to grab the rubber ducky and give it a squeeze. So yeah. We're wishing you a safe and not too difficult journey to the next stage in her health, okay? And you,
well, thank you both so much.
You're so welcome. We're very grateful that you're willing to open up your heart and your life and Cindy's situation to us, but also to other people, because as much as Dr. Sue can help you, think of how many other people will be helped by listening. So you've also done a service to them. Jonathan, you have a really good night and all the best to you and Cindy. We'll be thinking of you, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Sue, and thank you, Tracy. Thank you.
My
so
pleasure.
You're so welcome. Dr. Sue, that was just a wonderful man. It's so great to meet all these loving owners. It really is. And I will put you in touch with each other's email so that you can share some good oncology doctors with him. And It's great for anyone in the Westchester, New York area to know that you don't have to really go anywhere but the Animal Specialty Center in Yonkers, because that's where Dr. Sue is. And I hope you don't need her. I hate to say it. I hope you don't need her, but the odds are, if your dog lives to a certain age, you're going to need her, and at least you got somebody wonderful in the neighborhood. Dr. Sue, have a great night, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night.